I'm Carol Hills, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. It's crunch time at the Global Climate Conference in Katowice, Poland. Countries are supposed to be figuring out a way to put some muscle into the promises of the 2015 Paris Agreement. But the talks have bogged down even as the climate crisis gets worse. And many fingers are being pointed at the U.S. Here's Rachel Waldholtz with our story.
In the hallways and conference rooms here in Katowice, among sleep-deprived delegates and activists, there's a palpable worry. The deadline for this year's climate summit is tomorrow, and negotiators still haven't resolved many of the most important issues. So there's a real concern here that the summit will fail to deliver, both on what was promised in Paris 3 years ago and what most here say is needed now, as the dangerous realities of climate change become more clear. It's a concern that's shared at the highest levels.
To waste this opportunity in Katowice would compromise our last best chance to stop runaway climate change.
That's UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who told the countries gathered here to basically step up. To fail here, Guterres said,
it would not only be immoral, it would be suicidal.
The negotiators here have a heavy lift. 3 years ago, in Paris, nearly every country on Earth agreed to slash carbon pollution with the goal of limiting global warming to no more than 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial temperatures. That's about 1 degree beyond where we already are. But they left the details of how to do that to be worked out later. That's what this meeting is supposed to deliver. In the meantime, the stakes have only gotten higher. Scientists say there are clear signs that climate change is already making storms, floods, fires, and droughts worse. And a new report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, concluded that warming must be limited to 1.5 degrees Celsius to avoid horror movie scenarios, like rapid sea level rise. That means the world must not only meet its Paris commitments, but also raise those commitments significantly. So far, negotiators are bogged down. And one wild card in the discussions is the U.S. President Trump has promised to pull the U.S. out of the Paris Agreement as soon as he can, in November 2020. But until then, the U.S. is still at the negotiating table, even as Trump administration officials criticize the entire process.
The president has made it clear that under his leadership, the United States will not subject its citizens to agreements that hamstring our economic growth, prosperity, or national security.
That's White House Energy Advisor Wells Griffith speaking earlier this week. He and others have also made it clear that the U.S. is opposed to any limits on the use of fossil fuels. Griffith hosted the only official U.S. event at the conference, which was devoted to innovations in coal, gas, and nuclear power, and played down the threat of climate change.
Alarmism should not silence realism.
Many countries here think it's the U.S. refusing to recognize reality. American negotiators antagonized many countries when they joined forces with Russia, Saudi Arabia, and Kuwait to block acceptance of that report detailing the importance of holding warming to 1.5 degrees. The Trump administration has also refused to pay what the U.S. has already promised into a fund to help poorer nations respond to the climate crisis. That has infuriated developing countries who say that as the largest historical emitter, the U.S. bears much of the responsibility for creating the problem. And it's all left some countries fed up. On Tuesday, Ralph Reagan Vanu, the foreign minister of the Pacific Island nation of Vanuatu, said publicly what many people here are saying privately, that the U.S. is blocking progress. And he said that negotiators from the U.S. and other rich countries will be condemned by history.
Whether you welcome or note or shamelessly ignore the signs altogether, the fact remains that this is catastrophic for humanity. And party negotiators blocking meaningful progress should have much on their conscience.
It's impossible to say yet what the U.S.'s mark will be on the final outcome here. But observers say that perhaps even more important than what the U.S. is doing is what it's not doing, that is, not providing leadership.
I don't think there's really any substitute for the U.S. when it comes to its ability to kind of pull the world together.
Sue Biniaz was a State Department climate lawyer for decades and helped draft the Paris Agreement. She says that deal was only possible because the U.S. and China, the world's two largest emitters, worked together ahead of time. And then the U.S. put its full force into an agreement in Paris. She says there's no similar leadership this time around, especially with major European players like France, Germany, and the UK, distracted by politics at home. There are even fears here that other countries, like Brazil under its new leadership, could follow the U.S. out of the Paris Agreement, or drag down negotiations. But behind all the focus on the public statements and actions of the U.S., many here say that things behind the scenes are somewhat different.
My perception would be that the U.S. delegation is conducting itself in a workmanlike way. So in that regard, I think the U.S. is just, it's kind of like business as usual.
Sue Binyaz says many of the negotiators are actually the same career officials who worked on the Paris deal under the Obama administration. And in many cases, they're pursuing the same goals, including one global standard for reporting and tracking emissions. Observers say the U.S. is forging a deal that it could return to someday if a future president chooses to. Still, for many delegates here, anything short of a breakthrough is unacceptable.
We are not prepared to die. We are not going to become the first victims of the climate crisis.
Mohamed Nasheed is the former president of the Maldives, an island nation in the Indian Ocean. Nasheed was a star of the ill-fated Copenhagen Climate Summit in 2009. The Paris Agreement raised hopes, but he says not much has really changed.
Carbon emission keeps rising and rising and rising, and all we seem to be doing is talking and talking and talking.
Still, Nasheed says it's still not too late to avoid catastrophic warming.
We can still do it. Every country at this summit will have hell to pay if we don't.
Delegates have one more day to get it done or not. For The World, Rachel Waldholz, Katowice, Poland.